Amen. We're doing two lessons this morning, so I got to try to hurry this along. But there was two memory verses, if you want to catch up, because of the trends with Brother Mark last Sunday. But so this morning, we're going to look at John the Baptist, his ministry, and then also look at when Jesus was baptized of John. And the first memory verse is John 7:28, and it says, "For I say unto you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." John is the last of the Old Testament prophets. It says he's the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. And he was the greatest prophet for several reasons. As the prophets, they were men of God. John was very humble, but very strong in his ministry. Yeah, but, you know, he didn't talk about himself. John didn't talk about himself. He didn't brag on himself. He didn't lie about his mission. He didn't tone down his message. I mean, he lost his head over not toning down his message. Okay, you understand that. He rebuked those in high places, and he was the one who introduced Jesus to Israel, but also to the world. And John, it says of him, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him," through that light, not him, "might believe." And you remember, Israel was coming out of 400 years of silence. You know, you had the Maccabee period, when everything happened with the desecration of the temple during Maccabees. And Israel paid for their rebellion and their rejection of letting God rule over them. When you belong to God, unto whom much is given, much is required. And Israel didn't stop being God's chosen people, God the Father's chosen people, but they suffered for their choices. And so there was 400 years of silence when there was no prophet in the land. And that's the period of time where you find the apocryphal books. It's not in our present King James Bibles, but in the original 1611 King James Bible, it was put in between the Testaments. Okay, it wasn't included in Old Testament Scripture, it wasn't included in New Testament Scripture, because it's not accepted as inspired canon. Even though you can learn if you have I have a DeWay Chancellor Reams Bible. I was raised Catholic. That was Catholic Bible, one of them. And they have it in the text in the Old Testament. It does give you some historical information, but it contradicts the Old Testament in other places and contradicts the New Testament with what it says in there. And you have Bel and the Dragon, Tobit, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, and those things with that. Well, there was that period of time, there was no prophet in the land. And so Israel had nothing, had not heard from God. They had an outward appearance of trying to keep the law, but the Lord seeth, or God seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but what? God looks upon the heart. And so you have that situation. So we're going to look at John's background. So I want you to look at Luke chapter 1. Verse 5. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless." See, he came from a godly Jewish family. His parents were Zacharias and Elizabeth, and she was the aunt of Mary. He was a priest who, now I want you to look at verse 11. "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." They hadn't had children, and she was supposed to be past the age of having children. "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." Look at verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. John was to be a Nazarite. Okay, so I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 6. We're coming back to Luke, but in Numbers chapter 6, the Nazarite vows of what they had, and it says in Numbers chapter 6, let me see here, in verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to the vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine, or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even unto the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in the which he separateth himself unto the Lord, and he shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. In all the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. They couldn't go to funerals. They couldn't mourn or bury their dead. He was a Nazarite. He was separated unto the Lord. They didn't, you can see by reading that, they didn't live like the other people, did they? They were never to touch a dead body. And John's location was in the Judean wilderness that allowed him to be separate from all the noisy religion in Jerusalem. He wasn't part of the sacrifices. He wasn't at things. He was outside. And he could hear God clearly in preparation for him in ministry. It's kind of like when Moses was in the wilderness and came to the holy ground and saw the burning bush. Sometimes you have to. If you want to be a servant of the Most High God, come ye out and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things. Sometimes you have to come apart from the world before you fall apart. Just like people need physical vacations, sometimes you need a spiritual vacation from the world. I'd encourage you to try it. It's hard in this day and age the way we are, but turn off your phone. Let it go to voicemail. Do that for 24 hours. Now, you understand, I'm not the senior pastor anymore, but my phone rings continually. Just ask Carla. When they live with us, my phone rings a lot. There's times when I have shut it down. Turn off your iPad. Don't watch TV. Separate and take time to read your Bible. Take time to just let the Lord speak to you. Do you know, one of the problems, and I know Brother Thren talked about it, and that is in prayer. We spend a lot of time telling God things in prayer. But many times we don't take the time to what? To listen. If you're going to have any good relationship, has what? Two-way communication. Be still and know that I am God. So sometimes you need to come apart. And John was able to do that. Okay? His ministry was prophesied 700 years before it took place. Isaiah 40. This is an interesting thing. The way, when you want to look at this about your Bible, Isaiah is like a mini Bible. Okay? The book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. Because Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 3, it says, comfort ye my people, saith your God, verse 1. Speak comfortably unto Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And then verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That is the 40th chapter, the third verse. Go to the 40th book in the Bible. There are 39 Old Testament books and 27 New Testament books. Go to the 40th book, which would be Matthew, okay? Go to Matthew, the 40th book, the third chapter. This book is not like other books. When the Bible claims inspiration, it has internal proof. In the 40th book, third chapter, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is what?" Now look at the third verse of the third chapter. "For this is he that was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." 700 years before he comes on the scene, what he was going to say is given in the Old Testament. I don't know about you. I don't believe in coincidences. John's message was very simple. Matthew chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. The first part of the message was repent. His message to Israel was they needed to repent from their sins and get ready for the Messiah. That wasn't as simple as everyone thought it was. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We have the prophecy, one of the most famous verses. If you watch any sports, you watch football game, if they pan the crowd today, there's going to be somebody holding a sign that says John 3:16. It happens at baseball games. It happens at soccer games. It happens at almost every sporting event. Someone, if they get in, probably not worldwide wrestling. I don't know. I don't watch it, so I don't know. Okay? But John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned." Don't ever lose sight of that. "There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Okay? Second half of that verse says, "Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is what? Condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So he's telling them to prepare them for him coming. But they couldn't trust Jesus because they wouldn't let go of their outward appearance of religion. God is more concerned with your heart than ever with your outside. Everybody at some point in their life, and don't tell me it's not true of you, at some point in your life you pretended about something so that someone would think better of you than what was actually going on in your heart and mine. If you tell me that's not true, I'll tell you another scripture verse. All men are, because there's none good, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, so John's trying to prepare them. The kingdom of heaven was at hand because Jesus was about to come on the scene. But if the Jews would have believed this, things would have been different. You know, the kingdom could have been brought in, but they rejected their Messiah. Okay? This is a verse. Okay, let me see here. This is Acts 19:4. "Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance unto the people, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is Christ Jesus. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." John 3:36. I want you to understand, see, John had a message. His background, he was a Nazarite. He come from the priest class. His dad was serving in the temple. God separated him. When you get saved, God separates you from the world. Sometimes it takes a while for that to set in, doesn't it? But it doesn't change. You will never fit in the world like a lost person does. So many times believers fight against that, and they don't feel right in the world, and they feel uncomfortable around their brothers and sisters in Christ, when all they have to do is to be honest with God. Because if we confess our sins, He is just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, the parable of the prodigal son. The Lord's looking for His children to recognize that they're His children and not of the world. John had a particular message for them. Why is this important? Matthew chapter 3, verse 4, "And this same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey." I don't like that diet. Okay? I've never been one. I've had people try. I bet you Kevin has probably eaten bugs someplace in this world to be able to deal with the people he was on military assignment. Okay? You can live off grasshoppers. You can. I choose not to. Okay? And wild honey, the wild honey sounds good as long as you don't get stung. But okay, so what I want you to see is, you know what it was? He was a simple man with a powerful message. See, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You don't have to be something special in the world's eyes to be specially used of God. God uses the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. The simple things to confound the wise. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 26. "There is room to serve God for everyone who is willing. To come ye out and be ye separate, saith the Lord. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification," that's being set apart for a special purpose, "and redemption. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him what?" See, God has a simple message. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's a simple message. Apostle Paul is telling the Corinthian church in verse 3, he says, "But I fear lest by any means the serpent get beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is" what? "In Christ." It's a simple message. John's message told them they need to come out, repent, and be baptized, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. That baptism is a picture of the old being gone and newness of life starting. He used a simple message. He used baptism is what? Baptism comes from the Greek word baptisma. See, I know a little Greek. My family always laughs because I always said, "I know a guy." And I would tell him, "I know a guy. We can go get this here and there." Right? So I do know a Greek person. Doesn't speak Greek to me. But it doesn't make it any more special. All I'm trying to tell you is it means to be fully immersed into. That's all it means, to be put into. The moment you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you were immersed into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit was immersed into you, put in you fully. It pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For sake of time, I won't turn there. But it says that the gospel message is that he was crucified for our sins. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again according to the scriptures to show us what? That he had victory over that sin, over death, over the devil, over hell. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. With John, which you find in the story, is that they confessed their sins. They were repenting and preparing their hearts for the coming of the Savior. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, we'll go back there. Matthew 3, verse 7. He was baptizing in Jordan. Okay, he said, voice prepare ye the way of the Lord maketh path straight in the same camel's hair. We read that in verse 4. Then he went out to him from Jerusalem in all Judea and all the region about Jordan. And at the Jordan River, they were confessing their sins and being baptized. Look at verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, people are coming out, they're going to watch the show. They are the religious leaders in a nation that is a religious nation. O generation of vipers, we have warned you to flee the wrath that should come. See, he wasn't gentle with his message. They were jealous of John because people were coming to him and not to them. They couldn't accept God would use someone outside of their circle. The priests thought they were a special class, and they looked down upon the average person. Isn't it neat in the body of Christ that everyone, it's part of what the Baptist distinctives are, is that the priesthood of the believer, there's no higher class. There's called to different positions, different jobs, but a pastor is to be a minister, a servant of those that he leads. That's not how the priests saw themselves. So they hated his message. They were following devil and not God. He warned them to flee from God's wrath. John talked about the blind leading the blind. They both shall what? Fall in the ditch. He told them in verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet or evidence of your repentance. Evidence of the repentance. They were spectators. They didn't want to get right with God. They thought they were right with God because of their connection to Abraham. They said in verse 9, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. You continue down through this, and you see he was baptizing them. He tells them the axe is laid to the root of the tree in verse 10 and verse 11. I indeed baptize with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with three different baptisms mentioned there. The Holy Ghost is not the baptism of fire. Okay? When you reject the Holy Ghost's baptism, which happens at the moment of salvation, eventually you are immersed in what? Luke 16, in the flames. Three different baptisms. You can't escape it. John described the three different baptisms. His baptism was repentance and faith towards Christ. I read those verses. Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:5. You can read that. For sake of time, we won't. Jesus also baptized with fire. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. They were thrown into the fire. That's why he was the greatest of the prophets. His message was to prepare them not for 600, 700 years later, but for the immediacy of the coming of the one who could save their souls. That brings us to Jesus getting baptized of John. John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He was introducing the Messiah, the Lamb of God. Just like in Exodus, when you find where they have to make a choice and the blood has to be put on the doorpost and they're told to take a lamb. Then they're told to take the lamb. And then they're told to take your lamb. He has to become the one who sacrificed for you. So Jesus gets baptized. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? John knew who he was. He'd questioned it in suffering. And I want you to remember that. You know what? If you're human, you know what sometimes what you'll do? You'll question what's going on. You'll question, God, do you really love me? God, why is this happening? Before John was beheaded, he sent one of his disciples to ask Jesus, Art thou him that we look for? Or should we seek another? This is after the baptism. It's things that happen so much after this. And look at verse, here we go. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Matthew chapter 3, verse 14. And thou comest to me. And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to what? Why was Jesus baptized? To fulfill all righteousness. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It was to fulfill all righteousness. It tells us in John chapter 8 and verse 29, Jesus says, I do all things always to please the Father. He pleased his Father. You know what we should never try to do? Please our Father. So there was an obligation. There's a proclamation where he is introduced. Now we're coming back to Matthew 3, but I want John chapter 1 very quickly. Our memory verse here was verse 29, but it says in verse 30, This whom I have said, with the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. There's a proclamation, Behold the Lamb of God. He's being declared. There is the commendation, Jesus coming to John. He was giving approval of John's ministry and everything that John was preaching. You see, God also commended Jesus by speaking from heaven and manifesting the Spirit. So you have obligation, you have proclamation, you have commendation, you have consecration. In the Old Testament, the priests prepared themselves for ministry, first by washing themselves. For the sake of time, we won't turn there. But in Exodus chapter 29 and verse 4, they would wash themselves. In Exodus 29 and verse 7, they would be anointed with oil. Jesus here comes up out of the water and he's anointed by who? The Holy Spirit of God, which is a picture of the anointing oil. The anointing oil. Can you see it? Even though Jesus was without sin, he followed a pattern of preparation and consecration. It brought about an identification. He identified with sinful man, although he'd never sin. When a believer follows the Lord in baptism, which is happening when? We have a baptismal service. Guess what? The Lord identified with mankind at John's baptism. When a believer gets baptized, they're asked if they've what? When I used to sit in my office, I used to listen to it all the time. Dun, 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 dun. They're playing the tapes for the kids. Okay, and they're teaching them a song. We identify with Jesus. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. That would also encourage sinners to come to him. Let me see here. This is the faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, which the Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief. I am chief. So you got obligation, proclamation, commendation, consecration, identification, and anticipation. Jesus' baptism was in anticipation of the picture of his own death, burial, and resurrection. You should be able to give at least four reasons for a believer's baptism. If you truly understand it, you should be able to. Why did the Holy Spirit come down? God had told John that he would know who Jesus was because the Spirit would descend upon him. John, even if he did know Jesus in the flesh, he was still wanted what? You know what it is? You know, people say seeing is believing. Do you know how the world manipulates what you see to get you to believe something? They can do it with a picture in the crowd. If you want real truth, you have to get the message from the truth. Amen? Don't ever judge your Bible by the words of the world and the things you see in the world. Judge the world. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the... You still with me? The Holy Spirit here gives assurance. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hereby know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. The Spirit was a dove. Doves are clean, faithful, peaceful, and gentle. You can tell they weren't pigeons. Okay. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit. Learning to hear him is part of the Christian growth. I'll give you a biblical example how sometimes it's not what you think it is starting off. When Samuel was a child, right? He was told, am I thinking the right, got the right one here, don't I? I think I am. Samuel was a child. He's at the temple. And God wakes him up and talks to him. He doesn't know who it is. So he's told by the priest to what? Go back to bed and listen again. Because he didn't call him. And he called him again. and the older priest told him God was speaking to him. You know, without spending time in God's Word, you know what you don't recognize many times? You don't recognize the voice of God trying to speak to you. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's not just something that you have to do that's a labor. It's learning God's language of love found in the pages of this book, because perfect love casteth out fear. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he... But you have to be able to hear his language of love. That's why you should esteem his word above your... No Bible, no breakfast. Start the day with him, end the day with him. Take in some of his word, and then when you go to talk to him, you know what? Your mind is already set more on him. God hears you when you don't think he hears you. Sometimes my heart hasn't been right and I'm frustrated about something. Sometimes you ever think, do you realize he hears every thought of your mind and heart? And sometimes it can be kind of hard, and all of a sudden you say something and God says, I got you. Every time I've questioned God using me to serve him, and I'm saying, why? I can't do this. My heart's not in this. I've let this affect me. Lord, are you sure you're pastor emeritus, associate now, whatever you want to call me, because the titles don't mean anything to me, would say that to the Lord. And you know what would happen? The phone would ring, and somebody would need something from God's word. And I didn't think he was paying attention to me. And then he'd say, no, you're not. You're not of yourselves. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and your spirit, which are whose? His. The Holy Spirit wants to produce certain things in our life. When your heart is right, the fruit starts being able to be seen by others. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Sometimes, you know, the fruit of the Spirit's hard for me because you got to remember, when I grew up, my father used to say, if you don't get a hold of your temper, you're going to hurt somebody and you're going to jail. Seriously. You got to remember, I was bigger than my kindergarten teacher. That poor lady was only 4'5", and I was 4'7" in kindergarten. By the time I was 9, older kids always picked a fight with me for status because I was bigger than the sixth graders. In junior high, they'd pick fights with me because I was bigger than the juniors and seniors. And because I was so uncoordinated, the varsity basketball coach started me lifting weights in sixth grade. So they gained coordination and I just got bigger and stronger. But I had a bad temper. And many times it's caused me to be able to say, God, why? And he said, not only do you have to give
your strength to me. You got to give your weaknesses to me, because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. That's how you glory Him. That's how the Holy Spirit produces that fruit in your life. When you are weak, then you are strong. The Father spoke from heaven to let those around Jesus know that the Messiah was before Him. 1 Corinthians 1:22. Greek seeketh after wisdom, but Jews require a voice from heaven. Today, God doesn't speak audibly outside of your head. You spend enough time in your word, you know what? Sometimes you will hear God. God the Father spoke to put a stamp of approval on John the Baptist and on Jesus and all those that were following in baptism. God spoke to confirm the Godhead. The word Trinity is not in your Bible. Godhead is a reference to the common theological term of the Trinity, the three in one. See, Jesus was present. The Holy Spirit descended as a dove. And God the Father spoke out of heaven. All three present at His baptism. There are two other places in the Gospels where God speaks from heaven. I want you to look at Matthew 17. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto him them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make there here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. What was Peter comparing him to? To the Old Testament prophets. Moses was a prophet, besides being a ruler in Jeshurun. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, the voice of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Now go to John chapter 12. Verse 23, And Jesus answered them, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Spiritual lesson when you think about that. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not about you, it's not about me, it's always about him. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I to this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both what? Glorify it, and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered, and others said, An angel spake unto him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. He spake from heaven to point people to who? To the Son.
How does God speak to us today? I've already hit it in the Sunday school lesson. Got a little preachy. You won't hear his voice if you don't read his. And all God's people said, take a break.